Let us open our Bibles. We're going to read Genesis chapter 4, the verses 1 to 16. And as I was looking at the Christmas hymns that will be sung, I thought, how can the sixth commandment, you shall not murder, be connected with the gospel or with Christ coming? But then as I was thinking about it more, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go from Genesis 4 to Philippians chapter 4. And in Genesis 4, we have the bad news of the need of Christ. And what we will find in Philippians 4 is that Christ is the one who changes us so that we won't fall into the same sin of Cain and Abel. So it's not a direct connection, but as you will see, I think, without Christ and without his coming to earth, Philippians 4 would be impossible, and we would be left only with Genesis chapter 4. So without any further explanation, let me give the text. Genesis chapter 4, the verses 1 to 16 are the living word of the living God. Now, as I'll be reading this, we're not going to go into this in the message, but I just want you to notice how often the word brother is mentioned here. And the word brother comes back to show how terrible, really, this act is, what is going on. I'll try to emphasize it as I read. Genesis 4 from verse 1. Now Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Thus far God's holy word in the scripture reading. Let us pray for a blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open to us not only the meaning of this text, but that you reveal the meaning of our hearts and how much we need your love and your Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our hearts. Pray that you would strengthen us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read to you Lord's Day 40, the questions 105 to 107. 105 starts this way: what is God's will for us in the sixth commandment? Answer, I'm not to belittle, insult, hate, or kill my neighbor, not by my thoughts, my words, my looks, or gesture, and certainly not by actual deeds. And I'm not to be party to this in others. Rather, I am to put away all desire for revenge. I'm not to harm or recklessly endanger myself either. Prevention of murder is also why the government is armed with the sword. Question 106, does this commandment refer only to killing? Answer, by forbidding murder, God teaches us that he hates the root of murder. Envy, hatred, anger, vindictiveness. In God's sight, all such are murder. Question 107, is it enough then what we do not kill, that we do not kill our neighbor in any such way? No. By condemning envy, hatred, and anger, God tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to be patient, peace-loving, gentle, merciful, and friendly to him, to protect him from harm as much as we can, and to do good even to our enemies. Thus far, the Heidelberger Catechism. Beloved congregation, are you a murderer? Have you murdered? That's a tough question, right? Because the obvious answer would be, I think, hopefully for most of us, no, I have never gotten myself to murder, and I've never been caught for murder or escaped with murder. Well, this evening, we're going to look at the sixth commandment, and I want to look at it through the first murder in human history, the story of Cain and Abel. I don't just want to look at the whole story, I want to look at the conversation that God has with Cain and Abel. This is, if you're into biblical counseling, this is God's biblical counseling with Cain and Abel, and he's dealing with the heart. Then from there, as we will define what murder is, we're going to look at what went wrong in Cain and Abel's story, and ultimately we'll bring it all the way to Jesus Christ, and how with him we can find a way that we will never murder in our hearts or with our hands. So I have 3 points for you tonight. First, the sin of murder, what it is to murder. Secondly, Cain's door open to murder, how we get a vengeful or envious heart. And last, the Christian's heart's door protected from murder. Let's begin with this first question. What is the sin of murder? Well, if we would say what's the sin of murder before a court, it would be the intent of murder to harm somebody or deprive somebody of their life. But God looks at the heart. You know, it's easy to keep the externals, right? We can keep our hands to ourselves, first of all, because of the consequences. If you murder someone, your life is over. You're going to jail, and for the rest of your life, you have the blood of that person on your hands. But the Catechism tells us that forbidding murder, God teaches us that he hates the root of murder. That means the root in the heart. Any intention of ill-doing to your neighbor is connected to murder. Envy is murder before God. Jealousy is murder before God. Anger is murder before God. Jesus explains it, I think, best in Matthew 5, 21 to 22. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment." But then Jesus says this, "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to hell fire." Jesus himself, he looks at the crowd and he's saying, "You thought you got away because you never murdered, even though you shout to each other, you're angry with each other, you're boiling in your heart with anger and frustration towards one another." And Jesus says, "All of you who have called somebody else a fool, who've called somebody else someone who isn't right in their mind or somebody who's foolish, is a murderer before God. If you have ever called anyone by a dishonorable name, even if you were 3 years old, you are a murderer before God. If you've ever said as a child, 'I hate you,' you are a murderer before God. If you've ever despised someone because he or she is different from you, because they look different or act different, and you've looked down and despised that person, you're a murderer at heart. If you've ever been vindictive, you have murdered. If you're a vindictive person, a person who is constantly bitter and tries to cut somebody's life off and is jealous and wants to take the honor away from someone, according to biblical terms, you are a serial killer." That's tough, isn't it? It kind of moves everyone from the good camp into the bad camp. It moves all of us into we have all sinned. You see, the murder of sin is not rare. It's everywhere. It's in every home. It is in every heart of every human being. It is in the heart, and it manifests itself in many different ways. It manifests itself in gossip. It manifests itself through despising of other people, or trying to cut their lives off, or treating somebody different because they look different. It's in politics. The character murder that is constant in politics is a way of murder in Scripture. It's in between siblings. It's between couples. It's everywhere. The sin of murder is really a sin of the heart, and that's why it's so difficult, isn't it? It's easy if murder was just don't take somebody else's life away. Then it'd be possible to keep it. I mean, I think that most of you have never killed somebody else and never taken somebody else's life away. Right? That'd be easy to keep, but who can control the heart? Can you say before God that you've never despised anyone? Can you say that you can control your heart perfectly if somebody frustrates you and you never get bitter? Or if somebody steps on your toes? Or worse, if somebody steals your glory, you don't become bitter in your heart? Well, the spirit of murder is the spirit that looks down on the life of others. And I want to show you what Cain and Abel, what is happening. This brings us to our second point. Now, if we read Genesis 4 carefully, we realize that it provides a deep insight into the human heart. This is how it starts in verse 5 and 6. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. Doesn't mean that his face fell off literally. It means that he began to look at the ground. He didn't want to look up anymore. He was angry. We know that feeling, right? When you're angry and you don't want to look somebody in the face anymore, you're looking down and you're scheming in your mind of how you can bother this person, or stop this person, or never show your love to this person again. Your face falls. His heart, and this is what's happening. The face is falling, he looks down, and we know this because this happens in every human experience. When your face goes down, what happens in your heart? All kinds of thoughts starts coming up, right? You get angry, you don't want to look in the face anymore, but that's not all. Your heart starts to produce all kinds of thoughts, and then God steps in. He says in verse 7, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain, listen. You are the second man ever stepping or has ever stepped on this earth. You're the son of Adam and Eve. Don't let sin conquer you. It's crouching at the door. It's trying to grasp your heart and fill you with bad desires, but you must resist it. You must fight it. You shouldn't be overcome by it, even though those desires feel to be good desires, just desires. If you see two young children and they fight, and their thoughts become angry, and their faces, their eyebrows go down, and their lips become thin, and they get angry with each other, in their own mind, they have every right to be angry. And their own bad thoughts feel like the right thoughts. Isn't that true? You get angry, and you're bitter, and you feel that you have the right to make that person unhappy in some way because of what they've done to you. Well, God steps in, and he says, Cain, you have a choice. Sin is trying to enter in and master you, but you must resist it. You must say, not these thoughts, but thoughts of love. We see similar in the New Testament, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. And maybe if you're well-versed in Scripture, as soon as I said the word crouching, you were thinking about this verse. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. I think it's talking about the same thing. Don't you think so? In Cain's time, evil seeks to enter the door, but evil is not just kind of substance, right? It's not what you see nowadays made popular, like a black mist of some sort, right? Some kind of anonymous dark power that enters the mind. Evil is not some kind of dark cloud that clouds your mind. No, it's intentional. right? It's Satan, it's darkness that seeks to feed you with ideas. And the New Testament tells us that Satan is going around like a roaring lion seeking someone whom to devour, not physically, but your heart. He's trying to grab your heart and fill it with his thoughts. Now, all of you have been tempted by that. When you get angry and your heart opens up, Satan is suggesting ideas, isn't it? I'm never going to look at my friend and say nice things to him again. That's the last time I've helped him. Or worse, from now on, for the rest of my life, I'm going to make my spouse miserable so that he or she feels what I feel. Or something like that. You can do the same with colleagues or siblings. That's the devil. That's evil trying to master the heart. Have you ever looked at your heart as a fortress? If you've ever read Holy War by John Bunyan, he describes the human heart as a fortress. It's a great book, very illustrative. And the way that the Bible describes it, it says your heart is like a fortress and there's a door. And you can open that door or shut that door. Satan walks around the fortress trying to enter that door, and he's waiting for you when you're frustrated or in difficulty or in sorrow or whatever temptation it is, that you would open the door and he can suggest some evil thoughts in your heart. That's how the Bible describes the human heart. And Cain, of course, we know the story, didn't listen to God. He opened the door. And this is what we read, verse 8. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. That's shocking, isn't it? Why is that? Was Cain born as a murderer? Well, he had the desires, perhaps. What brought him to murder? He opened the heart. See that? God warns him, don't do it. He opens the door of his heart. He lets the angry thoughts come in. He rises up against his brother and kills him. Now we need to test our own hearts. Can you keep the door of your heart shut? That's tricky, isn't it? Because we have somebody on the inside who loves to kick open the door. So how do you keep the door closed? The story of Genesis is a warning, isn't it? But it doesn't give the solution. We can say, well, Cain was just a weak man. He was overtaken by the sin of murder. The question is, would we be able to keep our door shut? Are you keeping the door of your heart shut? Do you ever get angry with someone? Do you ever raise your voice, or perhaps that's not your personality? Do you ever say things like that stings the other person? Do you ever cut the other person off? Or we can talk about traffic, right? You ever cut somebody off in traffic? Why is that? Is that just who you are? If you're in Christ, you shouldn't do that, right? Is it really that simple? Can we just close the door of our heart and never sin again? I'm sure you've tried it. Who of you, if you're in a relationship with someone, or even your parents or your siblings, who of you has ever planned at the beginning of the day to say something unkind further along in the day? You wake up in the morning and say, at 12 o'clock, I'm going to get into an argument with my best friend and we'll never see each other again. None of you have, I hope. If you are, we need to talk. None of you have. Well, why do you do it? Why does this happen? You want to shut the door, but you can't do it yourself. Well, the Bible tells us that there is only one way to keep the door shut so that evil doesn't penetrate. There is a way, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's real and active. And the amazing thing is, I'm going to show you this passage. What you're going to find, it's not automatic. Did you know that there's promises in the Bible that are not automatic? There's promises in the Bible that are if-then statements. If you do this, then this promise will be given to you. right? If you read the Bible, you will know God better. Now, adoption is not an if-then, right? If you keep on being faithful, you'll still be adopted by God. No, that's God's grace. But this is an if-then. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. And I'm going to show you how God has promised divine help to keep the door shut so that you can protect yourself against evil. Well, really, so that God can protect you against evil desires. And I know that with Christmas, we're going to look at the gospel all the time, right? And say, this is how you're saved. Philippians 4 is not a passage how you're saved. This is a passage for Christians. But did you know that you need Jesus just as much in your Christian life as when you become a Christian? You need Jesus every day. When you come to Jesus, you call upon his name and ask him for help. But the reality is, every day of your Christian life, you need him just as much. Let me read to you Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And there's a lot packed in this, so try to stay with the text as closely as you can. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You see the if then? If verse 7, then, if verse 6, then verse 7. If you don't do verse 6, you're not going to enjoy verse 7. He says, this is a commandment in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's the commandment. Promise, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Have you ever seen a more sweet commandment anywhere? I mean, it's a commandment that almost doesn't sound like a commandment. Did you see that? The commandment is, do not be anxious about anything, but give it to God. That's the commandment of God to the Christian life. Are you obedient? Or do you keep the anxiety inside your heart? Do not be anxious about anything. Not some things, anything. Yes, for mothers and your cares about the children, those anxieties, do not be anxious about anything. Or about fathers or with your jobs or mothers with jobs, when the economy is going down or the company is shaking, do not be anxious about anything. It's a commandment of the living God to Christians. Are you obedient? I once was talking to a pastor, and he explained in his experience as a pastor, he says, people don't listen to the words, cast your cares upon the Lord. What they do is they hand it to the Lord in prayer, and then when they say amen, they take it back. So you bring your care to the Lord, then you take it back, and you keep on walking with your anxiety and your care. He says, but that's not what God's word says. You need to cast them. He needs to let go of your hand. You need to give it on the Lord and draw back and leave the care and the anxiety upon him. You cannot walk with anxiety and keep your heart safe. The anxiety will open the door of your heart for all kinds of other thoughts. Now, I know that we feel that anxious thoughts are our friends. We draw on them and we think on them and we worry and we're anxious about many things and we feel that's our responsibility. We need to be anxious about these things because that's who we are. The Bible says, cast them upon the Lord. Give them to God. Now, why is that? If you're anxious when you see a situation that you can't solve, right? That's when you get anxious, where you cannot guarantee the outcome. If you try to do and keep it with you and you're trying to get the outcome that you cannot do, You're going to try to do it in your own strength. But you need to give it to God. Now, if you do that, the Bible tells us how to do that, right? Let your request be made known to God. That's how you give your anxiety to God. And it's very simple for the Christian. It's not about a tone of voice or about a long, elaborate explanation of your care. It's giving them to Him, giving your cares to God. And Cain could have done that. Cain could have said, God, I feel anxious, I feel frustrated. Why do you accept him and not mine? I'm going to give this care to you. Would you resolve it for me and teach me? The door of his heart would have been shut, and no evil would have entered his heart. I think there's many Christians in our day today, and maybe many here, who are constantly anxious. And you think that the Christian life is balancing anxiety and faith. You're worried about everything on the one hand, and then you're holding on a slender thread of faith on the other. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is very simple. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ through your life, and everything that falls on your shoulders of an anxiety, you give that to the Lord. And he will give you his responsibilities for you. That's all. That's so simple, isn't it? And it protects the heart. Now, if you do that, and you could do that tonight, and start as a Christian, right? We're not talking about if you don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to come to him and give the care of your sin to him. But if you're a Christian, this is the promise. And God's word can never be broken. If you do that, you will get a guard for your heart. Did you see that in the text? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see that? The peace of God that passes all understanding. As a pastor, I can say, I cannot explain that. It's beyond what I can explain and what you could comprehend. It is so much greater, and why is that? Because it's the peace of God. It's an infinite peace because it's God's very own presence. It's the shalom of God, the protective presence of God. Will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's a real guard. I think one of the difficulties why so often the Christian life is so hard to take a hold of. You have all these words, grace and mercy, and they're kind of ideas that float out there that once you need them in your life, you can grab onto them. Now, this is real. This is real, actual, and near. The peace of God will guard your heart. Your heart. Not the heart of humanity in general, but your heart. Your individual, specific heart. That's glorious, isn't it? If I cast my cares, I give them to God in prayer and supplication, God will stand guard at my heart and will guard me by his peace in Jesus. In other words, Jesus is the one who protects and holds that guard around the door. That's what Cain needed. Didn't he couldn't keep his heart shut, and you cannot. I know you try. You hate sin. If you're a Christian, you hate sin. Other people might see, well, you're that kind of person, but you hate it more than anyone else, isn't it? If you speak too easily, you hate it that you speak too easily. If you get bitter, you hate your bitterness. And so what do you try to do? You fight the bitterness. You're trying not to do it, but you're chasing your own tail. You cannot do that. You need the one who was born on Christmas morning. You need the Lord Jesus Christ himself to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And he can only guard that heart who gives the cares upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You see the logic? If you're trying to do it yourself, how can he carry it? But if you give it to him, he can carry it. He can guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And so this is not automatic. Do you see the connection here? If you don't give it, if you don't give your cares, you can keep them to yourself. And I want to emphasize this, mothers. I mean, everybody, but especially mothers, isn't it? It's so hard to let the anxiety go, isn't it? Because it feels so much who you are. But you got to let the anxiety go and give it to God. You got to rest it in His hands and trust that He takes better care of your anxiety than you could ever do. Like Jesus says, who of you by worrying can save one of your hairs? You cannot. I mean, this is just as much for men and for young people and old people and everyone else. But I think especially for mothers. Don't hold on to your anxieties. Give them to God. Men, you're not called to be this superhero that can carry the world on your shoulders. You might think that the whole world expects this of you, but it's not true. And even if it did, it didn't matter because you need to see what God desires of you. God asks of you, commands you, tells you like you're a soldier in His army, give your cares to me by prayer and supplication. Do you do that? Are you a man who goes to God in prayer and supplication and gives your cares to Him and walks in His footsteps? Or are you a man who tries to muscle up and carry the burden? I can make a prediction. If you do that, it won't be long until your heart is filled with either bitterness or pride. Because you're going to be bitter because life is too hard on you, or you're going to be proud because you think you're succeeding and your heart is rotting away in pride, like Cain's heart. He thought he could do it, but he couldn't. You brothers and sisters, and I'm saying the same to myself, we need the Lord Jesus Christ to guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Because what we will hear sung tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ born in a manger, He was God from all eternity. He is the everlasting God from eternity past and will live from eternity future. This is the one who comes to you tonight and says, if you give your cares to me, I will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It's not my word, it's His word. All I do is repeat what His word says, so you can build your life upon the truth of God's word. The question is, will you be obedient or disobedient? Will you stand on God's word or fall on your own? Well, let me give you three straightforward applications and we'll close. First of all, with this passage in mind, especially with the threatening passage of Cain and Abel, but especially coming to Philippians 4, recognize your fears, your frustrations, your jealousy, your anxiety, and confess them to God. Bring them to God. That's practical. You need to do that tonight. You need to bring them to God. Don't just sit and go to bed tonight and say, well, I've heard this. Maybe one day I'll do this tonight. Perhaps even at this moment. Give your cares and anxieties to Him. Secondly, give them to God and leave them there. Don't give them and take them back. You know what I'm talking about. We can pray and say, God, help me. And then, oh no. Give them to Him and praise Him that He receives them. And last, trust in the protective care of God and keep your eyes fixed on Him. Trust in God. That's a simple word, isn't it? Trust. The way you trust when you came over here, if you came from the other side, when you drove over the bridge, over the river, that kind of trust. Live your life reliant upon Him, not even anxious that it might fall apart. Just trust Him as a life. As day by day. You see, many of you are young, like I am young. And the reality is, we do worry sometimes about the future. What will happen in 10 years or 20 years? What if the world turns in a certain direction? Where am I going to be? You know that God already knows? That God already knows exactly how every day of your life will go? Do you know that every possible care that can possibly come upon your life, He is already inviting you to bring them to Him? That's the heart of Christ. That's the love of God. If you're a Christian, you will never burden the Lord. You'll never burden the Lord. You can give all your anxieties, all your cares. You can pray 24/7 for the rest of your life, and it never becomes heavy on Him. He asks you to give them to Him, and you must, so that He can guard your heart and mind, so that every thought of pride or envy or jealousy is no longer to be found in your heart. Don't call yourself a jealous person. Give the jealousy to God. Don't call yourself a bitter person. Give the bitterness to God and let Him protect your heart and mind. Well, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You. And how sweet and how marvelous is Your word. And Your gracious love over us is beyond our understanding and greater than pens can write or lips can speak. Father, we pray that as we saw the heart of Cain being overcome by evil, and we see Your invitation for us to cast our cares and to bring them all before You and to trust in You, that You would give the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Protect us, Lord, and help us to never forget that all our anxieties must be given to You, so that our hearts will be pure and filled with the love of Christ from now on until the day we see You face to face. So, Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.